Well, it's really good to be here every Monday night with you guys and ministering God's love to you. God loves you so very much. You are so precious in the sight, in the heart, and in the mind of God. You agree with that tonight?
Amen.
You're valuable to God. You're worth more than all the gold, the diamonds, and the silver in this world to God. He loves you immensely. His mercies are everlasting. They never end. I've got to get the microphone here. Here it is. Okay. Well, tonight I'm kind of starting this new series called The Fruit of the Spirit, Peace. The Fruit of the Spirit, Peace. And I just want to briefly summarize last week's message. It was, don't blame God. It isn't God's fault. Don't be upset with God. And we talked about the fact that God is the author of good, right? Jesus said, if you then, having the sin nature, being evil, earthly fathers, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more so your heavenly Father, the perfect one, to give good gifts to those who ask Him, right? So God is the giver of good things. James 1:17 says what? Every good and perfect gift comes from above, from the Father of heavenly lights, right? What does Acts 10:38 say about Jesus? Let's read it. It says this, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, and how He went around doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil, because God was with Him. Now, that word all in the original language means all. Jesus healed everybody who came to Him. He went about, the Word of God says, doing good. Jesus Christ, Hebrews 1 says, is the exact representation of God the Father, right?
Yes.
So if Jesus went about doing good, that means that God the Father wants to do good in your life. Amen? He loves you so very much. Well, how many here tonight are a candidate for God's miracle in their life? How many here tonight? In order to have a doubtless and a strong faith in God for your miracle, you have got to believe what? Two things. In order to have a strong and doubtless faith in God for your miracle, you've got to believe two things. That God is the author of good, number one. And that number two, He is looking out for your best. He's looking out for your best. If you've heard from the pulpit or somebody told you that God caused the bad thing to happen to you, guess what? They were inspired by the enemy. The devil is a liar and the father of lies, right? God was not the cause of the bad thing, the problem, the trouble that came into your life. He is only the author of good and is looking out for your best. Look at Luke 9, verse 56. Luke 9, verse 56. God is not out to destroy. He's out to do a miracle in your life. Luke 9. Let's back up a few verses to verse 51, and this is what it says. As the time approached for Him to be taken up to heaven, Jesus set out for Jerusalem. He was up in the northern part of Israel. He sent messengers on ahead who went into a Samaritan village to get things ready for Him. But the people there did not welcome Him because He was heading for Jerusalem. So He was going from the northern part of Israel down to Jerusalem in the south, and He had to go through Samaria. When the disciples James and John saw this, verse 54, they asked, Lord, do you want us to call down fire from heaven to destroy them? There was animosities between the Jews and the Samaritans. Jesus could have gone around Samaria, but He decided to go through Samaria. But Jesus turned and rebuked them, and they went to another village. Another translation says this, and Jesus said to them, you do not know what kind of spirit you are of, for the Son of Man did not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. Jesus did not come to destroy persons' lives. He came to save them.
Yes.
And some people have the spirit of these two people, James and John. Maybe God was out to get you, some people will say. You know, some people have this image of God with a big stick ready to whip you when you've done something wrong. Some people will say, you know, maybe God allowed that sickness, that financial lack, to teach you a lesson. What earthly father puts disease on his child? God does not allow disease and financial lack and emotional turmoil to teach you a lesson. God teaches us by His written word. He disciplines us by the written word. Not by sickness and disease. Not by lack. Not by grief. But by His written word. So God is not your problem. You know, there are reasons that bad things happen to good people. And we talked about them last week. One of the reasons is our sinful choices and mistakes. You know, if somebody is dying of emphysema and smoked like a chimney all of his life, that wasn't God's fault, right? It was the person's sinful choice to smoke the cigarettes, right? You know, if you're in a car accident and you're not at fault and you get hurt, well, that wasn't God's fault, right? It was the mistake of another driver, right? Some people are persecuted for the gospel's sake. Peter and John were preaching the gospel to the Jews, right? In Acts chapter 3, and they were thrown into prison by the Jewish leaders. And then finally, another reason, the main reason that bad things sometimes happen to good people is because of Satan. Jesus said, the thief comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy, but I have come to give you life. And to give you life abundantly. The devil is a thief. He comes to steal. He comes to destroy. He comes to kill. But Jesus said, I have come to give you life in its fullest. Amen? When the World Trade Center was taken down back in 01, 9/11, who was at fault? Satanically inspired terrorists. It was not God's fault. I don't believe it at all. God is the author of good. You know, God is not the cause of bad. He is the author of what? Miracles. And so tonight I'd like to talk to you about the miracle of peace. The miracle of God's peace. You know, those who are godless, the Christless, they struggle with inner turmoil and strife. You know, they've rebelled against God. God, you know, this is my life. I want to do with my life what I want to do with it. I want control of my own life. And they search for that inner peace through drugs, alcohol, sex, materialism, money, and fame. If they could only find that peace, to them, it would be a miracle. Friends, I'm here to tell you tonight that peace in the place of turmoil is a miracle. But for us as Christians, peace is also a fruit of the Spirit. It's a fruit of the Spirit. Now, listen to this tonight. You can't have peace with yourself on the inside. And you cannot have peace with others unless you have peace with God first. You cannot have peace with others. You cannot have inner peace until you've got peace with God first. Does that make sense? It was God's original intent to be in harmony with man and with women in the garden, right? When He created Adam and Eve, it says in Genesis 3:8 that God walked in the garden in the cool of the day. It was His original intent to be at peace with humanity. And He said, you can eat of any tree in the garden, right? But you cannot eat of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. For in the day that you eat of it, you will surely die. We find in Genesis 3, the first few verses, that the tempter came to Eve, tempted her to eat the fruits of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. She ate, she gave some to her husband, and what entered the world? Sin. Sin. What is sin? Sin is a life out of harmony with God. You find in the later verses of Genesis 3 that basically man and woman were banished, dismissed from the garden. And that's what sin is. It's a life out of harmony with God. Let's turn to Galatians 5, verse 22. Galatians 5, verse 22. Paul the apostle writing to the Galatians. And it applies to us today, Galatians 5:22, and this is what it says. Galatians, Ephesians. Galatians 5:22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. Now let me ask you this question tonight. How do you produce the fruit of the Spirit called peace in your walk with God? How do you produce the fruit of the Spirit called peace in your walk with God? It's the third fruit that he mentions, right? Love, joy, and peace. I've got a little show and tell for you here tonight of some natural fruits. All right? If you want an apple, what does a farmer do? Or what do? You take some apple seeds, right? You plant them in some type of soil. You nurture those seeds and it produces the fruit called an apple, right? On an apple tree eventually, right? All right. You want a plum. Here's a plum. What do? You take a plum seed and plant it in some type of soil, right? You nurture that seed. Eventually, it produces a plum tree, right? With a fruit called a plum, correct? All right. Show and tell is basic. You want an orange. I love these fruits. I eat them every day. What do? You take an orange seed, right? You plant it in some type of soil, maybe Florida. You nurture that seed. It produces a tree, and eventually, the fruit called what? An orange, right? Same thing with a kiwi. Same thing with bananas. You want some type of natural fruit? You've got to plant a seed. You've got to nurture that seed. And eventually the fruit will be produced. Now, how do you produce the fruit of peace in your walk with God? How does that happen? Think about that tonight. To walk in peace with God, you have got to have the seed of the Spirit of Jesus Christ planted firmly in the soil of your heart. Imagine your heart having a throne, right? Who wants to sit on that throne? Jesus Christ wants to be firmly planted on the throne of your heart. Amen? It's through Jesus Christ planted in the soil of your heart and nurturing that relationship with Him that the fruit of peace with God is produced. Look at Romans 5, verse 1. Romans 5, verse 1. This is what it says. It says, therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Think of the Spirit of Christ as a seed. When you plant that in the soil of your heart, you say, Jesus, be my Savior and my Lord. Sit on the throne of my heart. Be planted on the throne of my heart. And you nurture that seed, that relationship with Christ. Eventually, peace with God is produced, the fruit of peace. Amen? Makes sense tonight. Look at Romans 8 real quick. It says this. In verse 9, you, however, are controlled not by the sinful nature, but by the Spirit, if the Spirit of God lives in you. And if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Christ. So if you want peace with God, the Spirit of Christ has got to be planted in the soil of your heart. Does that make sense tonight? Just like if you want oranges, you've got to plant orange seeds in some type of soil, right? And eventually an orange will be produced. It's the only way peace with God will be attained is by putting Jesus on the throne of your heart and then nurturing, looking after that relationship, growing that relationship with Jesus Christ. Now, how does Isaiah prophesy Jesus? Let's turn to Isaiah chapter 9. And this is what the prophet says concerning the birth of Jesus. Isaiah 9, verse 6. This is what it says. Isaiah 9, 6. For to us a child is born, a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Jesus Christ is the Prince of Peace. The only way you can have harmony with God, you can have the fruit of the Spirit called peace in your relationship with God, is by having the Prince of Peace firmly planted in your life. Look at Isaiah 53:5. Look what it says. This is what it says. But he was pierced for our transgressions, talking of Jesus. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us what? Peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed. Look at Luke chapter 2, verse 14. Jesus is the Prince of Peace. Luke 2, verse 14. And this is what it says. An angel announcing to the shepherds the birth of Jesus. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests. On whom does God's favor rest? On whom does the favor of God rest? Those who have the Prince of Peace on the inside. Jesus as Savior and Lord. Peace to those upon whom God's favor rests. Peace. You know, peace with God leads to inner peace. Now, lately, I've been seeing this bumper sticker, and this is what it says. You've probably seen this before, right? Let me show it to you. I have it written down here. Hopefully it's big enough for you guys to see, but it says this. No God, no peace. Do you agree with that? In other words, no Jesus, no peace. On the other hand, if you know God, K-N-O-W, you know peace. If you know Jesus, you know inner peace. Amen?
Amen?
All right. That's the only way to attain inner peace. You know, tonight you may have slid back in your walk with God. Maybe you have looked to alcohol, maybe drugs, illicit sex, a wrong relationship to find inner peace. You know, somebody once said that everyone is created with a God-shaped vacuum on the inside, with a God-shaped emptiness on the inside that only who can fill? That only God through Jesus can fill. Tonight you may be struggling with inner turmoil. If you've slid back, if you've backslidden, tonight you can recommit your life to Jesus Christ at the altar call. You know, everyone is looking for peace, for inner peace. I saw a sign recently in Tulsa that said this. It said, inner peace yoga. Inner peace yoga. People are looking for peace that only God can bring. Now, back about 5 years ago, I was in North India doing evangelistic work. And we say normally we board at the YWCA in New Delhi, India. And one afternoon, my host person, my North Indian friend, and myself were kind of having lunch on the side patio of the YWCA. And this Caucasian lady comes up to us. And she just basically starts talking to my Indian friend about this great Hindu spiritual leader. She keeps going back and forth with him. And she was like 7 years ago at that time. She said, I came to India. She said, I met this guy who's about 5 foot tall. He's got big hair. He's funny looking. She said, but when I saw him, she said, I fell in love with him. My heart melted. She said, he appears to me at night. He does this, he does that, he does the other thing. So she was arguing back and forth with my friends about this Hindu leader. And my friend, after about 20 minutes of argument, says this. Let me ask you something, ma'am. She says, what? He said, has this Hindu leader been able to give you inner peace? And at that point, the argument ended. In other words, the understood answer was no. There is no Hindu leader, no Mormon leader, no Muslim leader, no cult leader, no leader, no thing that can give peace that transcends human understanding. Only Jesus, the Prince of Peace, can do that. Amen?
Amen.
Look at what Jesus said before he was crucified to his disciples in John 14, verse 27. John 14, verse 27. This is what he said. He encouraged his disciples with this word. John 14, 27. And this is what it says. Just before he was crucified, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid." What did Jesus mean when he said, "I do not give you peace as the world gives peace"? What did Jesus mean by that? He said, "My peace I leave with you, disciples." The word is applicable to us today. His peace he wants to give to us on the inside. "I don't give you peace as the world gives." What did he mean by that? What is the world's definition of peace? Those who are godless. Their definition of peace is happiness. Happiness. The root in that word, happiness, is the same root in the word happenings. You know, when the happenings are good, "I've got a good job," the world says, the godless. Or, "I've got a great spouse." Or, "I've got lots of money, nice cars, a nice boat. My happenings are good, so I'm happy." And the world calls that peace. But that is a false sense of peace. What was Jesus trying to say? "I don't give you peace as the world gives." He was trying to say this. He was trying to say that "I give you inner peace and calmness even when situations around you are stormy." The inner peace of Jesus can be there even when you're facing trouble in your life. Does that make sense? Let me tell you a story of something that happened over 2 years ago. I was going to take a team out to South India for evangelistic work, out to basically to the Hyderabad area of South India, right? And I had a team, a small team, but about 12 hours before we basically boarded our flight, I got a call from one of the team members. He's an older gentleman. Him and his wife were coming, plus another person. Calls me up and says, "Jonathan, I've had a medical emergency." This is like 12 to 14 hours before we take off. I'm like, "Okay, Bob, what's going on?" He said, "Well, you know, I've had this medical emergency. I've been to the doctor, and the doctor says I should not be going to India with you." Guys, let me tell you, in my own natural mind, I just about, "Oh my goodness, I can't believe this is happening to me." It was like, you know, my mind was just playing games with me. I was like worrying and, you know, fearing and concerned. I'm like, "God, what do I do?" But in the midst of that, I mean, we had planned for months for this trip. You've got to understand the time, the resources invested into this project. And last minute, these two people, they back out because of his medical emergency, husband and wife. So I'm like, "God, what do I do?" And in the midst of that troubling situation, guess what? I had the peace of God deep down on the inside of me. It was just there. I was like, "God, what should I do? Should I cancel the trip?" And I just sensed an inner peace. If he did it for me, he can do it for you. You may be facing trouble tonight, persecution tonight, some type of loss, but guess what? You can have the peace of God in the midst of it all. Do you agree with that tonight? The peace of God to rule and reign in your heart. Look at John 16, 33. John 16, verse 33. This is what Jesus says. "I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world." In this world, he guarantees us, we will have some problems. But I have overcome the problems, the troubles that this world would offer you. So maybe the world has dealt you a hard blow. Financial difficulty. Sickness in your body. Emotional turmoil. The loss of a loved one. The loss of a career. By faith in Jesus Christ, you can believe that it will get better because he said what? "I have overcome the world." And with that faith that it will get better, you can have peace on the inside, right? Does that make sense? So though, even though it's tough now for you, friends, it is getting better because Jesus has what? He has overcome the world. Amen? Amen. Okay. As you nurture your relationship with Jesus Christ, who is in your heart, your worries and your fears will diminish, and they will be replaced by God's peace. Remember the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 6? People who were worrying about their clothing and the food. Jesus was like, don't worry about these things. And tonight you may be worried and concerned about such things. What does he say? He says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you, right? So as you nurture that relationship with Christ, as you seek his face, as you seek God's kingdom, these things will be added to you. Look at Philippians 4:7. This is what it says concerning peace. Philippians chapter 4, verse 7. The peace of God. Let's back up a few verses. Verse 6, actually. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Maybe tonight you received, or today you received, a bad report about something. Maybe you lost something today or in the last week. Maybe you're grieving over a bad situation. What does the Word of God say? Don't be anxious about it. But in everything, in this tough situation, by prayer and petition, present these requests to God. And in the midst of your hard time, God will give you that inner sense of peace. Present those requests to God tonight. So number one, before you can have inner peace and peace with others, you've got to have peace with whom? Peace with God by planting Jesus firmly in the soil of your heart. Amen? All right, so once you've attained this inner peace by Jesus being on the inside, guess what? You will have peace in relationship with whom? With others. You know, I've heard this said before, and it's true, that hurting people hurt others.
Right.
People who lack peace on the inside try to bring strife to others.
Come on, that's right.
Right? But people who have God's peace on the inside bring peace to difficult situations. Does that make sense? Hurting people hurt others, but those with God's peace on the inside will help bring God's goodness and peace to others. What did Jesus say in the Beatitudes? Matthew 5, verse 9. Blessed are the strife makers? No, blessed be the peacemakers. For they will be called the sons of God. They will be called the children of God. How many here tonight wants to be called a child of God? Will bring peace in your relationship with others. You know, when you gossip, what does gossip do? It breaks down the walls of peace, right? I've been guilty of this. I'm sure we all have. You know? When you're just looking out for yourself and excluding everybody else, it brings about strife and not peace. But Jesus said, blessed are the peacemakers. How many here tonight want to inherit the blessing of God? Let's look at what Peter says about this. 1 Peter chapter 3, in closing tonight. 1 Peter chapter 3. This is what the Apostle Peter writes. 1 Peter 3, verses 8 through 12. Living in peace with others. Finally, all of you live in harmony with one another. Be sympathetic, love as brothers, be compassionate and humble. Do not repay evil with evil or insult with insult, but with blessing. Because to this you were called, so that you may inherit a blessing. Verse 10, for whoever would love life and see good days must keep his tongue from evil and his lips from deceitful speech. He must turn from evil and do good. He must seek peace and pursue it. Amen? For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, his ears are attentive to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. So he's talking about in this passage inheriting the blessing of God in your life. He's saying, if you want to inherit God's blessing in your life, watch your mouth. Don't gossip. Don't spread any kind of strife with your mouth. He says, seek peace and pursue it in relationship with others. But in order to seek peace in your relationship with others, you've got to have peace with whom first? With God. And then you've got to have inner peace as a result of your peace with God. And when you have peace with God and inner serenity, inner peace, you will have peace in your relationships with others. One of the fruit of the Spirit is God's peace. And He wants to give it to you tonight. And as you were listening tonight, you thought, yeah, well, Jonathan, you know what? I've never even started this relationship with God. Never accepted Him into my life. Never accepted Jesus into my life. Tonight you can do it for the first time, friends. If you've never done it, you can do it tonight. Maybe at one time you were following God, but you decided to go your own way. Say, God, this is my life. Maybe you got upset with God. Maybe you thought God was at fault. You turned away from God and went your own way. Guess what? Tonight, you can recommit your life to Jesus Christ. You know, if Jesus is not on the inside, if you're living in rebellion, you've turned away from God, how could God's peace be on the inside? How could you be in harmony and peace with God if Jesus is not firmly planted on the throne of your heart?